This morning, we are doing Samson. Samson, a life set apart before it began. You know, I don't think I've ever spoken on Samson. You know, so see how this goes. One of the things about Samson is he is set apart, and we'll talk about this. He's set apart by God before he's even born. Now, one of the things that we need to take in mind about this is you were set apart by God before you were ever born. While you were yet in your mother's womb, he formed you. He knew you. You're a package deal. And he put you in there, you know, formed you while you were in the formative age. God put it all together, and this is you. And life, then, is helping us to know and to bring up the reserves and bring out the things, the talents that are inside of us. And, you know, to develop them and grow them. And sometimes they grow well, and sometimes they don't. And sometimes we go the right way, and sometimes we don't. So today we're going to look at Samson. Judges chapter 13, verse 1. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them to the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So Israel has this tendency to wander off. They go away from their faith. They literally walk away from their faith, and they take on the idols of the neighboring communities. I've mentioned it before, that in Israel, it's more like we would look at them as counties, you know, and each of the capitals or county seat, that would be like a fortress. And so the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, Jebusites, the Philistines, you know, these were groups, ethnic groups, that had their own cities and their own territories and their own armies. So, and they had their own gods. See, this is why God, whenever Joshua was supposed to drive out all the people of the land because of these foreign gods, and the people were, God knew what was going to happen. If you live with them, you're going to assimilate them, and you're going to take on their gods, and you're going to walk away from me. And so that's what Israel did. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They worshiped these false gods, and I believe they were even offering their children as sacrifices to these gods. Verse 2, there was a certain man of Zorah, the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful, drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you will conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." So we find that before he's even born, he has a mission. Samson has a great mission. So he was to have a life that was set apart. Sometimes, whenever, you know, we see there's a lot of parallels between this. Our life is set apart by God, but we are his children. We are to live for him, allow his spirit to work in our hearts and lives and to guide us. And so God was going to provide another deliverer. So in the book of Judges, I believe it's about 200 years, there are these number of judges that would come, and they would bring the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, back to serving God. And the only reason the people wanted back in serving God was they were being oppressed and being robbed and beaten by these neighboring counties. Okay? So we find that God visited Manoah, and the Philistines lived to the west side of Canaan. If you, I didn't ask Terry to throw up a map of Israel, but we know where... we know where Jerusalem is on the maps, and we know the Mediterranean Sea. Well, we find that the Canaanites, the Philistines, excuse me, lived to the southern part of Israel by the Mediterranean Sea. It's kind of where the Gaza Strip, where the city was that's got all blown up. So this was where the Philistines lived. And from the time of Samson, of our lesson, and to the time of David, the Philistines were a real thorn in the side for Israel. They had advantages over Israel in number. They were a much larger group of people. They had tactical experience. They were people of war. They were people of technology because they had mastered the art of iron. And so they had iron chariots and able to make their swords, and everything were much better than the children of Israel. So, but we have Israel once again in their cycle of sin. They would, you know, the prophet or the judge would come, the people would give their heart back to God, they would get rid of all the idols, they would be serving God, and then after the judge would die, he wasn't there to tell them what to do, so they would say, well, let's, you know, go back to our former ways. So, the cycle of sin. Israel was oppressed and killed by the Philistines, and it was this suffering that came as a result of the people ignoring God. Whenever we let God out of, God doesn't abandon us, we leave him. You know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but he will let us go on our own. And so what happens with Israel, they were serving him, they were God's people chosen, that God was going to work through them, from Abraham on down through the children of Israel, even to today. God was going to work through them. But at the time of Christ, the children of Israel had the sacrificial system and the priests and, you know, the temple and all the sacrifices they had every year on the Day of Atonement and Jesus. And the people had to choose, you know, the sacrificial system or Jesus, who is now the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the people said, the priests and Levites and the people in charge, the temple guards and everyone that was in authority, we can't lose all this money. Just kill him and we'll be all right. Well, they gave up the new in Christ and maintained the old sacrificial system. And Jesus told them, you know, it's not going to be long. This whole thing's going to be gone. And in 70 AD, the Romans completed the task and burned down the city and tore down the temple and fulfilled what Jesus had said. And so they've been off wandering the globe since until Israel became a nation. So our society today, what does it take for people to follow God? If we go back to 9/11, whenever the Twin Towers were bombed and people were, you know, they were run into by planes and people were conscious that, you know, things are kind of out of control. Well, again, we can look in the world situation and we have people who we can blame. We have things that we can say are wrong with our world and this needs to change and that needs to change. Guess what? The thing that needs to change is us and coming closer to God. Because God is in charge. He will, you know, we don't understand it sometimes. We have no idea why things happen the way they do, but we've got to trust God. So Samson's life begins with a divine intervention. The angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah, and this is his mother. And verse 5, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall be upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite was kind of like a Nazarite vow. And Samson is thought to be the first one. So he usually, people would take, okay, a person who took a vow to be set apart for God. Took a vow to be set apart for God. And Samson's parents made this vow for him. And a Nazarite vow was something temporary, usually, that people would have a vow that they would, for 6 months or whatever, and they would have this vow. But Samson's case, it was for life. And as a Nazarite, Samson could not cut his hair, touch a dead body, or drink anything that contained alcohol. So, do you have a picture of Samson? This is a snapshot of picture. That's not him. That's the statue. That's a marble statue. I like. Do you have my AI configured one? No, that's not him. Is that? Oh, well. Anyhow, he's an individual who has he has everything, can get anything, and what he does most of all is take for granted what God has given him. That he's been given a great gift. He's got some restrictions. You don't cut your hair. You don't drink strong drink, and you don't touch dead bodies. You got to separate yourself. Okay. So whenever we think about for ourselves, when we confess our sins and ask Christ to forgive us of our sins and to live within our hearts, well, we are separated from those who have not done that. It doesn't mean we don't talk to them, we don't live with them, all that kind of stuff. It just means that we are separate. And we have a new value system, we have a new way of looking at life. Well, Samson, he had a way that he just liked to do his own thing. And he didn't know, and in many ways, he was spoiled. he could get anything he wanted. We'll go on. Chapter 14. Verse 1, Samson went down to the city of Timnah. He saw a young Philistine woman there, and when he returned home, he said to his father and mother, "I saw a Philistine woman in Timnah. I want you to get her for me. I want to marry her." All right. Go get that woman I saw the other day down over in Bedford. There's a woman in Bedford. Go get her, Dad. I like them country folk, Well, that wasn't the situation. The Philistines were, again, they were the antagonists of Israel. They would capture them. They would enslave them. They would kill them. They would take their food. They ruled over them. And so for Samson, this was the beginning of his breaking of the law. He was set apart, but he didn't like to be set apart. He liked them women down in Timnah. So we see Samson taking for granted his gift from God. Samson begins ignoring the boundaries of his calling. Sometimes, we can look at what God has given to us, and we can ignore what boundaries that God has given to us. And there are certain things that, that are permissible, but what happens is we begin to allow things and more things to creep into our life, and we become more complacent with sin and with things that are leading, kind of destroying, eroding at our faith and our relationship with God. So he demands a Philistine woman for marriage, and they are, as we said, an arch enemy, and they serve foreign gods. And so Samson, he gets in trouble. Verse 5. Samson went down with his father and mother to the city of Timnah. Now, one of the things is, we think, you read this and it's like, okay, next day, next week. Well, it could be a year, because there's a betrothal period. So Samson is thinking he's betrothed to this woman, this Philistine. And so he, she's going to be my wife, and we've got to wait a year or whatever until we can be married. So Samson and his mother, they go to Timnah to pick up his bride. They went as far as the vineyards near the city, and there a young lion suddenly roared and jumped at Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came on Samson with great power. This is the key to the vow that Samson has with God. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would come upon people, and they would prophesy, they would lead, they would go into battles, and the Spirit would be there for a period of time and then leave. for the New Testament, for you and I, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to abide within each believer. So the Holy Spirit is always with us. And as the Spirit came upon Samson, we always have the Spirit with us to inspire, to help, to lead, to guide. And in Samson's case, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him with great power. And what did he do? He tore the lion apart. I don't know, they were AI created or whatever, but they have these silverback gorillas fighting with lions. I think it's AI generated. But those silverback gorillas, they're just very powerful. They'll take a lion and break it in half or throw it, you know, off to the side. Whenever I was reading this, I thought of the silverback gorilla fighting a lion. And Samson, he doesn't have a problem with it. He tore it apart. It was something easy. It was easy to tearing apart a young goat. That's what the scripture says. If you tear, it was like tearing apart a young goat, a just born goat, and tearing it apart. Samson did that with the lion. So he doesn't tell his mother and dad. Again, okay, you know, reading between the lines, is he humble about this? Does he not want them to know or what? He doesn't say. But in 6a, the first part, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson with great power. And this means that Samson had unusual physical strength given to him by the Spirit of the Lord. So we don't have anyone else in all of the Old Testament that has this type of power. It isn't that he worked out, he lifted weights and lifted cows and lifted, you know, animals and, you know, like the Spartans and all those. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he had great power. And the second part of it, he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. And so we find that he is a man of great strength at times, but the great strength that he has was to deliver Israel from the Philistines. But Samson doesn't do much delivering, he does more consorting. What we see with Samson is his outward strength continues, but his inward spiritual life compromises. We see the grace and mercy of God working. You know, why doesn't God just take away his spirit? Why doesn't God just pull this out of his life and not touch him and let him on his own? Well, God is gracious and God doesn't just turn his back on us. God is willing to work with us. His grace and his mercy are there to help us. And so he never turns his back on us. So the lesson we learn here is sin rarely destroys our strength immediately. It is something that erodes slowly. So Samson's life shows the dangers of compromise. So then we move to Judges 15, 1 to 9. I'm going to do the whole life of Samson. Later on in chapter 15, verse 1. Later on at the time of the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat and went to visit his wife. So now he's going down to take, you know, to pick up his wife. It's maybe been 6 months, a year. This betrothal period is over, and so Samson's going down there to get married. So, I'm going to my wife's room, but her father would not let him go in. Whoa, what's up? Verse 2. I was so sure you hated her, he said, I gave her to your friend. Some friend, your companion. Isn't her younger sister more attractive? Take her. Can you imagine that? Hey, I got another daughter. Take her. Well, Samson said to them, this time I have a right to get even. This is the character of Samson. I have a right to get even. I am going to pay people back for what they've done to me. I am going, you know, vengeance. I'm going to take vengeance on them. So here's this guy who is endued with power from on high, focusing on vengeance and taking it out on people for hurting him. They hurt me, and I'm going to hurt them. So this time I have the right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. So he's ready to take them on. So he went out and caught 300 foxes. Now, I don't think these are our foxes that we think of, because our foxes don't run in packs, but they may be jackals or something like that. But they, you know, and it, you know, doesn't mean that he went out that night and one night caught 300 foxes. And so the implication is it was over a period of time. And so anyhow, he tied their tails together and lit them on fire and sent them through the cornfields and the wheat fields. Anybody ever see what happens in a wheat field and a cornfield catches on fire? You have popcorn. It's just a disaster. And this was, they don't have, you know, refrigerators and storage units. They are depending upon this crop to sustain them for the next year. So when the Philistines, verse 8, asked, who did this? They were told, Samson the Timnite. And so the Philistines went up and burned her father to death and her. So they wanted to take vengeance on Samson, who was taking vengeance on them, and they're going to take vengeance on him. And so they go burn his father-in-law and what was to be his wife. They killed him in a fire. Very, very cordial individuals. Verse 7, Samson said to them, since you've acted like this, okay, you know, there's always a reason to be vengeful. This is what Samson over and over again. Since you have acted like this, I swear that I won't stop until I get my revenge. It's sad that the character of Samson is more about vengeance than it is about leading. So here we have, you know, he's called by God. There's no mistake. He has the Nazarite vow. He is to be set apart for God. But he's not perfect. So he attacked, what happened, I will survive, verse 8, he attacked them viciously and slaughtered many of them. Then he went down and stayed in a cave in the rock of Edom. Now, the Philistines went up and camped in Judah. So now the Philistines have come back and they've surrounded the camp and they're going to kill all the people of Israel because Samson killed some of them, you know? So it's just vengeance, vengeance. Did you know the beginning of grace is the eye for an eye? Because an eye for an eye was, if you go to a neighboring village and you take a person's life, your life will be taken. Rather than that village coming over and wiping out your village, now it was just one-on-one. So what was going on here is that Samson killed some of them, so they're coming over here to kill all the ones that are related to Samson. So what happens, this is interesting, I think. The people of Judah, they said to these Philistines, why did you come here? Well, we've come to take Samson prisoner, to do to him as he did to us. Vengeance, vengeance. Verse 11. Then 3,000 men from Judah. Okay? We're going to go arrest Samson. How many do you think is enough? 3,000 people of Judah went down to capture Samson. He was a legend. They didn't mess with him, and because they knew he was special, but Samson didn't see how special he was. So he asked this, he said, what are you going to buy? You know, we've come to bind you and give you to the Philistines. And he says, you going to kill me? And they, no. And he says, well, okay, you can bind me up. And so he agreed with the 3,000 guys. And so what he does is, verse 14, so he approached Leah. The Philistines came toward him shouting. So the Philistines now have talked the Israel into turning over Samson, right? Well, they're bringing him to the Philistines, and the Philistines are all excited. They're chanting, you know, they beating Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. It's all over. God shows up. The Spirit of the Lord is something that in our hearts and lives protects us. We don't even know it. That God is about us. I think of missionaries that were they were going to be killed. They were in the Congo or somewhere in Africa, and they went there and they were in their own hut, and the witch doctor and the council, they were coming to kill them, and they got to the hut and there were all these men around the hut and protecting, you know, it's like they were afraid, this witch doctor and these, well, they were afraid to go in. And so the next day they came to visit the missionary, and they said, and they looked around and says, where's all those men? Said, we don't have anybody here but us. God was protecting them. The angels were about them. And so we find in our life, God is about us, and he's helping us every moment of every day. We need to pay attention to it. Pay attention to God being with us, and don't erode what God is doing. So what happened to Samson? And the ropes that they had tied around him, it just broke off like charred flax, which, you know, charred flax is that's burnt cords, and they just disintegrated. Verse 15, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. No wonder they brought 3,000 men to take him captive. And they still couldn't arrest him. Samson impulsively used the special gift that God gave him. And Samson was a judge for 20 years. So what we read of this in these chapters took 20 years for him to live through. So in another occasion, the Philistines set a trap for him, and he was in their city. I mean, why he would go into a Philistine city, don't know, but they set a trap for him. And they said that in the morning they were going to, everybody's going to pounce on Samson. Well, in the middle of the night, Samson wakes up. He knows that they're going to set a trap for him. So he goes to the city gates. And the gates of the city, now, the gates of the city, and I'm watching these archaeological things, the bottom of the hinge is just a big stone with a hole in it. And then there's a long tree, you know, a long circular pole, and there's another stone up top, and then the whole wooden structure hinges on that pole swinging back and forth. And, you know, even a small gate is thousands of pounds. So Samson goes to the gates of the city and rips them off. He rips them off of their hinges and where they are in the stone hinge, and he carries them up over the mountain. Now, most of the time, you know, I thought, well, it's top of a hill, a couple hundred yards. Some said he carried them to a city which was 9 miles away. Okay? He is one mean dude. But Samson's greatest defeat came with a woman. Do you have Delilah? You ever throw her up there? Huh? He threw it out. He was X-rated. No, it wasn't. She's this beautiful woman, and Samson falls head over heels in love with her, but she's a Philistine. And so the Philistine people come to Delilah and said, we'll give you all kinds of money if you can find out his weakness. And so what Samson compromises, he's in a place he shouldn't be, with a person he shouldn't be with. And breaking his vow before God. So eventually, you know, you would think after a couple of times, you know, Samson gives her a story, you know, this is what you do, bind me with ropes and whatever. And so after the third time, she says to him, this is the best line, chapter 16, verse 15. How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? Boo-hoo! She's like the lady who drove the tent peg through the guy's head. You won't confide in me, the secret of your great strength. If you really loved me, you would do this. If you really loved me, you would do that. If you really loved me, if people use that trick on you, you walk away. If somebody has to, you have to convince someone that that you love them by doing something stupid, you know, or something that's really, when it's all over and it's done, doesn't really mean anything. It's going to pass away because next year you have to do something different. So anyhow, Samson finally falls for the idea that Delilah really, he really loves Delilah and he's going to share with her his secret, cut my hair and I'm just like another man. Well, she did. And whenever the Philistines came, he was just like anyone else. He didn't have the strength of the Lord because he had broken his vow. In that day, this Nazirite vow was extremely important. It was a sign that you were dedicated to God. And Samson, being in with the Philistines, being with this woman, being in their camp, he felt secure enough that they can't touch me. But he gave away his God secret. And she cut his hair. Philistines had they came and they arrested him. And what did they do? They gouged out his eyes. And he was like any other man, and they took him to prison. And while they were, and then we have in chapter 16, verse 25, the Philistines then were having him, it's sometime later, after they had arrested him, put him in prison, he's grinding grain. You know, usually those donkeys do that, or, you know, slaves, you know, run the wheel around and grind grain in the prison. That was Samson's job. And while they were in high spirits, so the Philistines are celebrating there in their big temple, and there's thousands of them there celebrating their great victories, and they said, let's bring out Samson. let's take care of him. You know, it's the big joke. Samson, we all feared him. Look at him, he's nothing. He's just a normal person. So when they stood him in the pillars, so Samson is in there and they're making fun of him. But one of the things is his hair is growing back. Was it his strength in the hair? No. The strength was in, I think, Samson's knowledge that he had taken for granted what God had given him. He finally realizes the gift that he has with God. And so Samson says to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Verse 27, now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were there about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Verse 28, then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me, with one blow, get revenge on the Philistines for my eyes. See, he was still wanting revenge, but he was supposed to be delivering Israel from these people. Now, he was going to die with them because he had missed, given up his calling. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars in which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on one, his left on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Then his brothers and his father, whole family, went down to get him, and they brought him back and buried him. So this is a story of Samson in a brief time. But we see there's the characteristic is God has called each of us. That the one scripture says that while we were yet in our mother's womb, he formed us and he kept us. There was another scripture that I wanted to read. I'll think of it. But anyhow, the great strength in one area of his life does not mean there's strength in every area. So we want God to be first in our life and dedicated to him. So what I think of is, in comparison, is we've done Esther. And Esther, Mordecai says to her, her uncle says, "Who knows whether you've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this?" She risked her life to prevent the slaughter of all the Hebrew people in Persia. Samson gives his life because he had blown his calling from God to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. So as we think about what are the things that we need to do and apply to our life, Samson, he was to begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He was given enormous physical strength and potential. He wasted his life getting even and not leading. So, 30 seconds, think about what we've gone over and what is it that sticks out in your mind of this message. Okay, anything particular? Step in, fall in, stand out. The scripture I was looking for was John 15:16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain." Then this part, "that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Samson went on vengeance. God wants us to go by faith and ask for what God puts in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for these illustrations, these individuals who, Lord, with their strengths and weaknesses, they were individuals that you used and called, and they were not perfect. And so, Lord, we thank you that you call us and that you have given us a mission, a life to live, and a will to accomplish. So give us peace, direction, healing, and strength. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.